I want to jump into the practice of this just to kind of get through the experiment. We're not necessarily going for a major shift yet. However, I would encourage that while I've often made fun of the training that then suddenly turns into the self-help group, as we go into different practice sessions, I give you an encouragement as well as a disclaimer, which would be to become aware maybe of things in your own life that you'd like to motivate, you'd like to change, you'd like to improve upon. And I kind of would recommend putting them into the category of maybe minor annoyances or minor motivational challenges, as opposed to, well, you know, I do have those night terrors, and every night 3 a.m. I wake up screaming and strangling whoever's in the room with me. Let's talk about that over the break. The phrase is, it's not stage hypnotherapy. So again, you know, what's something you'd like to do more of? What's something you feel you're not doing enough? Can you think of a small challenge that you're currently going through, a small annoyance that might be in your life? The beautiful thing to be aware of is that you can work with these things as a benefit as part of this course without having to reveal everything to the other person you're working with. That a lot of this work can be done contextually. So can you think of a scenario? I didn't ask you who that person was. I didn't ask you what environment you run into them. That's still personal to you. So there's an example of that. Can you think of a scenario that you'd like to do better in? Oh yeah, okay. There's the intro. And as you place yourself in that scenario, become aware of the images you're creating in your mind. Where are those images you're creating? There is a patterning to the questions here, which over the break, I'll send, I owe you guys the video of me doing the Rebecca Stop Smoking session, but inside of Workers, there's the NLP changing, using some modalities to affect pain relief. And I'll share that video with you guys too, that inside of it, there's a much longer, more detailed, repetitive explanation of the question asking process. Because if I go at it too abruptly and ask you, are there sounds? I might get a no. But to follow the rhythm of what information we already have, to replicate and feed back a piece of information that I've now obtained, and then lead that into a question, then I almost always will now get an answer. Which, in your case, we still weren't getting sounds, but that might not have been appropriate for the scenario. But you heard me, you do the questioning. And as you're aware of these images, what sounds are you hearing? Where are the sounds coming from? Which, this is doing either one of two things here. Either one is it's forcing the mind to discover the sounds, or it's forcing the mind to create the sounds, or reveal the sounds. As opposed to just getting a stock answer of there are no sounds, because that might be a conscious assessment. That might be a conscious judgment in that moment. So if I ask you, you know, is it in color? No. As you're aware of those images, feeding back, you're aware of those images. As you're aware of those images, what is blank? There's the format. To simply begin the question part one, as you're now acknowledging this thing you've already acknowledged, where are the sounds coming from? Oh, from over here. And as you're aware of those sounds over there, feeding back, are they moving or still? They're moving. And as you're aware of those moving sounds, we're just reiterating and then asking. Reiterate, then ask. As opposed to just going at it cold. Hey, Tom, are there any feelings? No. Well, as you're aware of these sounds and images in your mind, where are those feelings located in your body? Which is a bit of a leading style of question. It's leading not for the sake of forcing to tell you that it's now moving, but it's leading to the point of making you discover there are representations of it, both auditory, visual, kinesthetic. Does that make sense? Yeah. So the easiest way to do it, again, is as you feedback something you've already got, then ask the question. With that format, you're going to get an answer to basically everything. There may be exceptions, there often are, but you're going to get more answers where other people would go, nope, there's no sounds or feelings, which you can work just within one submodality. If I take that feeling of fear and anxiety and suddenly move it down to your foot, How do you feel now? Seems kind of silly. I've got control over it. Oh, okay. And that might have been enough just to sort of disrupt that reality of that issue. Or as I take that fear, now you can see it, me holding it in my hand, and I throw it out there for your mother to deal with. How do you feel now? I do that all the time. So we'll simply do a submodality elicitation, which is, let's give you a prompt. You'll ask the person, can you think of something currently in your life that you would like to do better? And for the sake of the exercise, let's work without content. You need not know what it is. Just which the phrasing then becomes wonderfully vague. And as you think of that situation, the images in your mind, are they moving or still? They're moving. And as you're aware of those moving images, are they in color? Are they black and white? Good. And as you're, and as much as you can feed back and reiterate, it's going to get a more quality response. And as you're aware of this scenario you'd like to improve and you're aware of those moving color images, become aware of the sounds. Where are the sounds coming from? Are they internal or external? Oh, they're only in my mind. And those sounds, are they moving or still? Clicking here? Yeah. Once we have that, we'll come back together as a group and we'll play with it together. So find a buddy. And I'd encourage you, you've got a bunch of these. I'll probably end up printing more of these as we go. But basically use just column number one to just practice the elicitation first.